Get the conversation going with Rabbi Kamenetsky. But I think it's an important point to note, looking at the schedule. A little bit over 20 years ago, Rabbi Kamenetsky was my Rebbe in NCSY Kollel. If you look at the sheet, the amount of people on the sheet that are Talmidim of Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rabbi Peshetkin, Rabbi Herschel, Rabbi Grajauer, the amount of people that have learned from him is honestly, it's remarkable. And to be able to sort of go one step up in the Masorah, to be able to hear not just from the people who learned from, but to hear Rabbi Kamenetsky himself is an amazing, amazing opportunity, and one that I think is really just special. And I hope that we have the opportunity to increase it. And what we're talking about is something very important. We're talking about some school policy, some who gets kicked out, who doesn't get kicked out, and to understand a little bit, to hear this side of the discussion. Sometimes when we're in school, so the results of decisions we hear, but not always like the background in terms of what are the factors and how we go about, or how people go about doing things. So I guess the first question to get things going a little bit is, what are the policies out there as far as issues like juuling, smoking drugs, things like that? What are the policies out there? What's the metzius on the ground?
I think that most schools that NCSY Kollel kids will go to. So most schools distinguish between someone who brings something into school versus someone who has a challenge with something out of school. I think that, of course, all schools are geared towards wanting to help kids, wanting to help kids grow. And if someone, unfortunately, gets caught up in something outside of school, so I think in most of the schools that people here attend, I'd love this to be a little bit of a conversation. Maybe you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. After anything I say, please feel free to ask any questions, or I'd love to hear what you want to hear about on this topic. Most of our schools, if somebody, you know, would do something outside of school, whether it be juuling, whether it be marijuana, whether it be something like that, you wouldn't throw a kid out because you hear that he has an issue outside of school. You try to get the kid help, find out what the issue is, try to help him out. Maybe the kid needs counseling, maybe he's just experimenting with something. There's no real problem. Maybe he just needs to have a conversation with somebody about making sure it doesn't get worse, whatever it might be. But yet, in school, many of the principals and school leadership has said that if you bring something into school, that sort of crosses a line. And the idea is that every parent who sends a kid to school expects that a school atmosphere should be one, at least in the school, that my kid shouldn't have to be exposed to certain things. And when a parent sends a kid to school, and every student who goes to the school signs a contract, and the contract says, you know, you're going to be expected not to bring this stuff in. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but I heard that like at certain rock concerts, so you're not allowed to bring a phone into the concert. You're not allowed to take a picture. You're not allowed to, certain things, or certain museums, you know, that says you're not allowed to take pictures. And so presumably, if you violate the rules, you bring it in, you're going to get asked to leave their concert. You're going to get asked to leave the museum. That's a fact of life. You know, you go to a school, you're signing up to agree by the rules of the place, and the rules of the place are that the place wants to keep it a certain way. I remember one year the seniors were a little bit of a rambunctious group, and they were doing like a movie, a senior movie, and somehow, drugs was one of the themes in the movie, and it was like one really like tamimus thick a kid, one like really like sincere, sweet kid who would never like forget about thinking about doing it, probably didn't even know what it was. And this particular parent, we were really trying to recruit this kid hard to come to the school, really amazing, fantastic kid. And this parent like had asked me about that, like, is it true when my kid goes to high school, so he's going to walk the halls and he's going to be offering stuff in the halls? Is that like true? I said, no, it's not the way it is. Chas v'shalom, it's not true. And meanwhile, the seniors are doing this skit, and like, it's like the third week of school, and some senior like comes over with a jacket to this particular freshman of all, and he goes over and like opens up his jacket and like shows him it wasn't real stuff, it was just fake stuff, and they caught it on video. They were trying to make like a movie, and I got this frantic call from a parent saying, you told me that this wasn't going to happen in school. I did the research, and it was an inappropriate video, but it wasn't the real thing. So, this is going back like 8 or 9 years. I think things were a little bit different, but So I think that parents have a right, and kids have a right to expect that there's going to be a certain standard in school. And you know, I was actually involved. Maybe you'll shoot me afterwards, but I was involved in an effort that 40 yeshiva high school principals throughout the United States signed a document that basically says there are three or four things, but the ones that are relevant for tonight are that if you bring anything into school, you're going to get asked to leave the school. The document also says that anyone who gets thrown out of school because there's another yeshiva is going to take him in. It says that other yeshiva is going to make a good faith effort to take him into the yeshiva. And the other thing it says is that if there's out of school usage, then the yeshiva is going to take a therapeutic approach. They're not going to throw anybody out for usage out of school, but they're going to try to help the kid to learn about it and to understand the issues and to make sure they know what they're getting themselves into and to hopefully try to help them get off. Are there any questions or concerns or thoughts or issues about that? I really want to hear what you guys have to say about that. Go ahead. It's geared towards everything. Alcohol, alcohol, jewels, weed, all of that stuff that's part of the policy. Yeah?
You said that like 40 principals signed that, it says that you would kick someone out of the building. I don't understand how like a principal would do that because every single kid is like a totally different situation. And like, especially every school's different. Everyone is making decisions in general, every single
person. It's a great question, and I will tell you to answer. I will tell you that when applying this rule, I think a lot of principals take a lot of different factors into account. I'm sure that not every principal with every single kid applies the rule in exactly the same way, and a lot of times people are going to be understanding of a kid in a certain circumstance. Having said that, I want to be clear about what I mean. If there's a kid who has a problem, who's addicted, you know, I have no problem. I'll tell a kid all the time, you're addicted, come into my office and smoke whenever you want, and there's no penalty. That's okay. We're talking about somebody who's doing it because of like peer pressure, whatever, and we're just saying, in the school community, on the school grounds, we're saying we want this to be a safe place for people. We want this to be a place where people don't have to walk into the bathroom and don't have to see if they don't want to see it. I think those kids have a right also that there's a certain standard that's expected in the school. If you have your own problems, your own issues, you want to have your own good time with doing stuff, just don't do it in school. You're not going to get thrown out. You're not going to get any, just school has to be at least the principals feel like school itself, the school atmosphere, schools have a right to say that a school atmosphere is going to be a zero tolerance place in school itself. There's just like in shul, there's rules about how you behave and how you dress and how you act in shul, right? I assume that you would, I think you'd probably agree with me. Maybe not in Israel, but maybe you wouldn't agree with me, but you know, There's certain expectations of how you behave in certain places. If you go to a guy's wedding, and the guy's having a wedding. So a guy who shows up to his friend's wedding in a tank top and shorts, I think you probably think that's not appropriate. It's not respectful of the person who's getting married. If it says black tie or people are expected to dress in a certain way, or you have a shul on Shabbos, things are expected to dress so. I hear the other side of it also, and my opinion is not the only legitimate opinion on this. And I will tell you that I've had to deal, a lot of principals have talked to me about how to address this issue, and it's not always applied uniformly in all cases, but that's the theory behind it. Yeah, no, I'm not anyone.
Just like a step further on that, the concept of Hanukkah and our relation, treat every individual as an individual. So if I could take an example with my dad, when I was 15 or 16, he would wake me up on Sunday mornings to go to show. And now sometimes I get a little bit annoyed. My brother, he lets him sleep in. He treat, every child is treated differently. So I was wondering how that, his question, how does that apply in high school?
So, Rabbi Meshef, we were just talking about that. It would be great if a school could have 300, we have 380 kids in our school. It would be great if I could have 380 different rule books for the 380 kids. That's really the best way. For the kid, that's the best way. Because not everybody's on the same level and people need different kinds of rules. It would be great. But it's just honestly impossible to run a school that way. Because why does one guy get a certain... And principals do address, sometimes they will take different people. And a parent has the luxury of saying, this child I'm going to raise this way, this child. And principals do that a lot of times also. But on the other hand, for the sake of the masses, I'll give you another example about this. Okay, we have a policy that if any Rebbe who's bringing food into the school has to have a hashgacha at a certain level of the Vada Rabbanim of the five towns. It has to have the Vada Rabbanim. And that doesn't mean that we're saying that other Hechsheim aren't kosher. No. That when I'm not saying that some of the local establishments, but we're saying that there might be certain kids in the school that have a standard that's their kosher standard. So why not make the standard so that everybody can enjoy it? It shouldn't be a standard that some kids say, I can't eat that. So we try to keep a standard in school that everybody should be able to live with. So, you know, that's kids have to walk into the bathroom and see. And again, this it also cuts to the issue of, is juuling something bad? Is it not so bad? Why is it? Why are people taking juuling? Which is a very interesting point. And I don't know if that was raised in some of your earlier conversations, but I'm happy to talk about that as well. And that's also a matter of dispute. But and I don't know if I helped answer the question at all, but it's just more like when you're dealing with 380 kids, you got to try to have a standard that's best for the overwhelming majority of those kids. You can't just have like a separate rule book for each kid. Yeah, I'd much rather hear what they want to hear about. Yeah, go ahead.
So if a kid has a problem with whatever it is, sweetie or jewel, but by kicking him out, how is that going to like help it? You know, it's only going to make him more rebellious and stressed, or it's like he feels rejected because of it. So like, how is that going to help him?
Awesome. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal question. One that I want to address. Let me say it, also just introduce it with a little bit of a story. And not a little bit of a word of Torah about this. It says that a person who has leprosy, tzaras, he gets thrown out of the three machanos, the three camps. But it's the Kohen that has to throw him out. I once heard from Moshe Weinberger, he said that the Kohen was known as Oiv Shalom, Merodev Shalom, Halvim Tamid Shal Aaron. Before you throw somebody out, it's got to be from a sense of love and care and sensitivity. And I can tell you, I can count only on, before two years ago, I can count on one hand the number of times in my 22 years of being a principal that I had to ask somebody to leave the school. I can count that on one hand in my 22 years before 2 years ago when this whole juuling thing just started exploding. And even those kids who got asked to leave, we let them back afterwards. The answer to your question is like this. And I can tell you, like, every single kid that I've had to ask to leave the yeshiva over one of these issues, first of all, I've offered to learn with them privately afterwards. I also have a private chavrusa with them. I never would ask a kid to leave in a way that would demean that person, that would embarrass that person. It's just simply, you signed an agreement of what you agree to have rules. And I want to stress again, a kid who has an issue outside of school, we're not throwing a kid out for that. We're talking, our yeshivas are only asking a kid to leave if you bring it into school. When the rules clearly state, we say as part of a condition of being a member of the school, we're asking you, please don't bring it to school. And I also say, if you have a problem and you want to smoke it in my office, it's fine. You can do that. No penalty. Now, in terms of marijuana, just to say one thing about marijuana, I wouldn't have that same rule for marijuana. That's really just about juuling or even smoking cigarettes. I remember we had a kid whose therapist was telling him that it's a good thing for him to be smoking marijuana. It's good for him. And I didn't agree with that therapist. And again, I'm just telling you one story that happened. Unfortunately, that kid ended up having to go to rehab. He missed the first 3 months of his year in Israel. And I went to visit him in January of his year in Israel. And his first words to me, were, Rebbe, my therapist was wrong and you were right. I've been involved in education for 27 years. I've dealt with many, many kids on marijuana and smoked many, many, at least 40 or 50 kids. Much more than that, actually. I've dealt with a lot of kids on this issue. I've never once seen a kid that marijuana was good for. I've never once seen a kid that grew and developed. People ask me, they're legalizing, it's coming to New York, they're legalizing marijuana. My response is, I've never once seen a kid that it did something good for. And I've seen lots and lots and lots of kids that it's done bad things for. It's just that's just my feeling. Shaoli.
So for Jewel, if you're going to make a rule, no one can
Good. So let me just share with you my view on this subject, because I did do a little bit of research on this. But again, I agree with you. The research is not extensive, because the whole thing has only been around for 2-3 years. This is my view on the whole issue with juuling and why you guys will probably be angry about this, but I'm proud of the fact that the Yeshiva High School community has taken such a strong stand on juuls. As probably you all know, the organized world has I want to be in front of the desk. I don't want to be behind the desk. I want to talk about this in front of the desk. So, the organized world, I'm one of you. I'm not on the other side of the desk. The organized world, that when I was growing up, so the thing to do in schools was cigarette smoking. Now, the organized medical world succeeded in convincing most of the world that cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. So it's really, really, really dangerous. And it's really, and as the world got smarter, so you see less and less and less. If you look at the numbers, they take numbers of this. If you look between, let's say, 1985 and 2005, the average cigarette smoking of teenagers in the United States went way down because there was these massive PR campaigns about how cigarette smoking causes cancer. And I would dare say, if you did a study of NC Smart Cola 15 years ago, and NC Smart Cola today, the amount of kids that smoke cigarettes, it was dramatically down. So e-cigs was viewed when it first came out as this major fantastic breakthrough to help people who were addicted to smoking to be able to smoke without the tar, without the lung cancer. Phenomenal. Awesome. And that's why they made, and that's the way they sold it to investors that made a ton of money, including a lot of firm people who made a ton of money on e-cigs. But what ended up happening? Because it's healthy. Because it's healthy and safe. Tons and hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of more kids got into it because it's healthy. Because it's you don't get lung cancer from it, but you still get the same hit from nicotine. You still get the same addictive hit from nicotine that the nicotine hit is often a gateway to other hits that can be much worse. And now you have so many thousands more people that smoked cigarettes are now smoking e-cigs. So it's better, you're right, it's better. The e-cigs are better than cigarettes, no question, but so many more high school kids are getting now addicted to e-cigs, which becomes a gateway to getting addicted and smoking. Because once you get used to the e-cig, you know, it's not so exciting anymore. Now you want to go to the next thing. So e-cigs often are a gateway to other stuff. Yes?
I get that bringing things into the schools like crossing the line. So do you think there's like a better approach to like do something to a kid like less embarrassing than being different?
And I will tell you that researchers have said that the absolute worst thing that a teenager hates more than anything else, the worst thing you could do to a teenager is embarrass a teenager. That is the worst thing you could do. That is the most hurtful thing. You can fail them on a test if nobody else knows about it, the kid could care less. You could take away privilege X, Y, and Z. If no one knows about it, it's fine. The worst thing you could do to a kid is embarrass them. So I'm very, very sensitive to non-embarrassing kids. Very sensitive to that. That is the worst thing you could do to a teenager. And it kills me to have to do things like that. Like I said, I can count, aside from this incident that we had with Julie 2 years ago, 6 kids, 2 seniors, and four kids, 2 seniors and 2 sophomores got asked to leave. But the seniors, just for the last 2 months left. And I hear it, and just the feeling was, the feeling was, amongst not just me but other principals, the feeling was, as much as it hurts and it
kills us and ask for the machine first of all. That's why we put in a rule, someone else got to take him in. He's not out, it's the defense of himself. And in most of the cases in the tri-state area, I've been involved in at least 10 or 15 cases of this in the last 2 years. In almost every single one of them, somebody else was, took the kid in, and I helped negotiate that somebody else should take him in. But again, there's also an idea that if you make a commitment, then you're not, we're not saying you can't smoke. We're saying don't bring it into the school. That's a commitment people have. And we're saying, if you bring, well, why do you have to bring it to school? That's already showing it to other kids. That's already bringing other kids in. It's one thing if you want to do something on your own. It's another thing if you want to be a bad influence on other kids. It's that schools are saying, you're going to bring it into the school. You're going to be a bad influence on other kids. And you've lost your, not the school's not throwing you out. You made a commitment to not bring it into the school. And you've lost your rights to be in the school.
Yeah. That's what she said there. How does that help the kid though?
No, so again, the goal is not for the kid to be at home. No. He's got to get to another school. But also, I think that the message for the kid is you have to learn in life that if you agree to a certain set of rules, again, if you don't agree, if you think that Jules should be okay in school, then go to a school where it's okay. There are schools where it's okay. But if a school's telling you in advance, you have to learn, you're going to be in a workplace, there's rules of what you can and can't do in the workplace. If your boss tells you that during the day you're not allowed to be on other websites and you're supposed to be working for the business, if you go on other websites, he's going to fire you. You got to understand that if you enter into a contract, if you want to be able to bring in a school, so go to a school where it's okay. If a school's telling you in advance that it's not okay, then you got to live by the rules. So I think the help to the kid is he learns if there's a set of rules in a place, a set of norms and expectations in a place, that you got to live up to them. And it's great that a kid gets that message at age 15, because if he doesn't, he might end up being an insider. He might end up getting arrested for insider trading in 20 years from now. You got to learn those rules. The rules are made to protect everybody and tell everybody. Yikusil Daniel.
Why does DRS...
Let's leave it away from DRS. So we're talking about why the schools. Why the schools?
Modern Rukh Shiva's place of more emphasis on drug abuse than maybe like pornography or something. That's what I feel. Maybe pornography can be worse. And I found that most times in the
Well, that's sort of, it's a great question. That sort of cuts to the issue of cell phones. That cuts to the issue of cell phones. And I will tell you that our yeshiva particularly is looking at taking a much more strict view of cell phones. But honestly, it's not really about pornography. Pornography is a complicated topic to talk about. It's a very complicated topic to talk about. I would urge anyone who wants to know my thoughts on pornography. There's a 30-minute talk on YU Torah that I gave on that. I certainly do agree that pornography is unhealthy and it's dangerous. I certainly agree to that. It has a great potential to affect a person's marriage later and his relationships with women in general. My answer to you is that you're right, and there are some staff members in our school. I'll make the following generalization. In the yeshiva world, everybody jewels and it's fine, and no one's allowed to have a cell phone. In the modern Orthodox world, everyone's allowed to have a cell phone, and no one's allowed to have jewels. And you could argue which is really, and some in our school have argued. So honestly, it's really not about pornography. It's really not. That's one of the very, very, very low reasons, honestly. But it's much more about healthy engagement and relationships and being engaged in a school community. But our school and a few other schools are looking at taking a much more stronger view about the phones. But it's not about pornography. I'm just trying to give everyone a chance here. Can we first hear just from people who haven't spoken yet? I don't want to hear first from people who haven't spoken. I'll try to get to everybody. Yes, Rabbi Kirsch, right?
What would Rabbi's advice be to someone who may have already been kicked out of the school or in the past has had a bad experience in camp? In terms of going forward, what's the next step? Like, how do you not feel terrible, and how do you move forward?
That's a phenomenal question, and I really feel strongly about the fact. You know, I can tell you so many stories about this. About, you know, honestly, it's hard. Most of you don't know. Half of you know me. Half of you don't know me. So it's hard to talk to the guys who don't know me because you're not going to believe the things that I say. If you get asked to leave a camp or you get asked to leave a school, you should not feel like your life is over. I can tell you many, 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 many people who have gotten asked to leave school or gotten asked to leave camp and ended up becoming the most amazing, successful, fantastic people. Everything that happens to a person in their life happens to them for a reason. Everything that happens to a person's life is a learning experience for that person. And as long as you take everything that happens to you in life as a learning experience, as a potential opportunity for growth, your life will always have an upward trajectory. No one, no matter what happens to a person, no matter how bad it gets, no one should feel like they have no chance, like there's no way for them to grow, there's no way for them to be successful. I've seen so many people whose lives looked like they were headed in one direction and became the most amazing, successful, fantastic people ever. I know one kid who bounced around from high school, got thrown out of two or three schools, and he was very close to my dad, and my dad gave him a job over the summer and gave him a feeling of self-worth. And it turns out this kid who was like wild, and you know, it turns out when it came to sales, he was amazing. The guy made it incredibly well. This guy, over the last 5 years, has donated 75 Sifrei Torah all over the world to various places. He actually wrote a Sifrei Torah in memory of my father, who passed away a little over a year ago. And he came to the Achlan Sifrei Torah, was holding a picture of my dad, and tears were coming down his face. And he said, "You know, your dad gave me a chance when everybody else, turn their back on me." And I said, "Listen, it's a good deal. You wrote a Sefer Torah. Do me a favor. Take the picture of my dad. It's a good trade. You gave us a Sefer Torah for him. I'll give you a picture." I think we got the better end of the deal. But I can tell you countless stories. Everything happens for a reason. Hashem runs the world. You do your best. If you made a mistake or if somebody didn't treat you appropriately, sometimes people get thrown out of school for bad or camp for bad reasons. If you got mistreated, don't hold it against the person. It happened for a reason. Grow from it, learn from it, and turn to the people, supports in your life. Turn to the supports in life, people who care about you, your family, or hopefully a close rabbi or friend or somebody you can go to, or a therapist or somebody who can help you, and let them help chart the next step. Your life is not over. So many people who this happens to have a very, very happy ending and very happy marriage. Yes?
Same thing for dropouts. Like they drop out.
Look, if you're in a school that's not the right school for you, then before you drop out, try to find a place that will be the right school for you. You know, don't drop out. Nobody wants to take a kid who dropped out of school. I think dropping out is the wrong move. Don't give up. Don't drop out. If you think the school's not the right place for you, so do the research before you get kicked out and try to find a school that is right. There's a school for everybody. There's a yeshiva for everyone. There's a place for everyone. And I would urge you not to drop out. Yeah. So it's not the slightest infraction. It's very, very clear what the infraction is. Not for anything. It's only if you bring something into school. But you're right. You're right. And that's why the principals struggle, because we love the kids. We care about the kids. We want them to be successful. We don't want to throw the kids out. And we certainly want to throw them out of all the yeshivas. So that's why we have this push and pull. Like, on the one hand, we say, we're going to ask you to leave. On the other hand, there's going to be somebody who's going to catch you so that you don't fall. First, just kids who haven't spoken yet, okay? Yeah.
If yeshivas don't know
Because they want to know when a kid is doing it out of school so they can get the kid help. Because they think that taking drugs is not good for the kids in their school and it's not good for the school atmosphere. And if you're doing that, it's not healthy. It's not a healthy behavior. And we want to discourage you from doing it outside. But we don't have, because of the fact that there's a whole bunch of reasons why people do these things, not we don't want to just throw you off the face of the earth for doing it. We do want to find out that that a kid is having a problem so we can help him get out of the problem. So because we care about kids, we want to help them, the schools, it's my view, people can disagree with me, and obviously New York State disagrees with me because they're about to legalize marijuana. But I think it's not a good thing for kids. And therefore, we're going to do random tests because we want to find out in order to be able to help you to stay away and get off. Yes?
I also think it's a good way, but is there also a policy of drinking in school?
Absolutely. If you drink, bring alcohol to school, it's the same thing. Same thing, alcohol to school. Jonah.
Rebbe said that that anything outside of school isn't punished at all. But even if after the school gives a kid help, if he does that outside of school, and it keeps coming up as a recurring issue, will the school not take it?
That's a great question. I feel bad Rabbi Tereski's watching. Maybe Rabbi Tereski can comment afterwards on this. And by the way, guys, I'm available the whole night, the whole summer. You want to talk to me about this privately? I'd love to help guys if you're struggling with this. But Jonah just asked a great question. Great question. Let's say it's outside of school and you discover it, but then the kid keeps doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Is the school going to ask him to leave? So a drug counselor once gave me a great mushel about this, which I try to use all the time. There's a difference between slipping up and slipping through. Everybody slips up. If a kid is on a general program to try to lessen it, to try to get off it, and he's under the care of a psychologist, but then he slips up. Everybody slips up. Not going to throw a kid out for that. But if a kid is telling his therapist one thing, but he's going behind the therapist's back and actually really doing other stuff and not being honest and straight about it, and over the long term, he can't get rid of it or he's not being cooperative, that's a different question. And a school might say, listen, we tried to work with you, we tried to be understanding, but it's already a year or it's a year and a half or 2 years and we think that you're not a good influence on the school community and we're afraid you're going to be a bad influence on other kids. The school might say even on out-of-school usage, if it's long and we try and we're working and we're talking and it's not good, we won't be successful. Right, Tereski, you've been sitting here like such a good, you're okay with it? Okay. We only have time for one last question.
One more.
What's that?
One more
question. First, anyone who didn't speak yet? I know you've been asking to talk again for a long time. Go ahead.
You keep on talking about rules and how and kids break the rules. I don't think that's a problem. The kid clearly knows. Every kid knows when they're doing the school and things like that, that they're breaking the rules. There's obviously some problem with this kid. And like when you say that some other school is going to catch it, yeah, some other school is going to catch it. It's not like they want him to be there. He doesn't want to be there. He's going to be going. Obviously, the schools have a different approach towards him than they will to every other regular kid in school. And he's going to be looked at as a bad kid. And even aside from that, this kid's like, what you said before about how, like, when a kid gets kicked out, he shouldn't have the mindset of, and he shouldn't have the But no matter what, like, it's very nice, but every kid has it when they get in trouble. So this kid feels like the lowest of the low. And, you know, I don't know how many students here, I said 400. That means that 400 parents know and scared that kicked out. Every single kid in school knows. It's all everyone talks about. Within a week, the entire community knows how this kid and what he did. He got kicked out of school. He's now looked at as a bad kid. And like, it only gets worse and worse and worse.
So the only thing I can tell you is that I've accepted in my 22 years 4 or 5 kids that were thrown out of other schools. And I can tell you that that was not the experience that those kids had in my school. Those kids were just the same treated as any other kid in the school. And I did take a little bit of heat from some parents. And before we had these rules, I did it before it was the policy. I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. In the middle of the year, in February, I took in kids who were asked to leave other schools. And I can tell you, I can't speak for everybody else. If you're right, I would bet it could be that experience. But I can tell you, the principals now that I work with, I don't know what school you go to, I don't know who your principal is, I don't know what the story is, but I can tell you that the kids who come to our school from other schools get treated with the same love, care, sincerity, and attention that every other kid. There's no difference. I will just ask them to sign something that, you know, just that they shouldn't do what they did in the other, they shouldn't do it in the school. That's got to be a condition. You're committing to not do the same thing here to there. But aside from that, the kid will get the same thing. And I can tell you, the kids who were accepted into our school, who were asked to leave other schools, you know, again, I can't speak for everybody, but most of the principals that I deal with are sensitive and understanding about this, and they won't treat us. So again, I don't know what experience you're talking about. I hear why you think that would be the case. In the schools that I deal with, we try very hard, but that's not the case. Okay, we gotta go. Thank you, I'm around later.